All right, well, you know what I'm fixing to say, so let's do it. Turn with me, if you will, to, as it turns out, this is going to be the very last Torah portion in the book. And that, of course, means that it will wrap things up for the year this evening. It's a little bit different. I'll introduce it by, by the way, that would be chapter 33, by the way, the last parsha, like I said, in the book, chapter 33 of Devarim, or Deuteronomy, verse 1. And it says, Vezot, and this is HaBracha. Vezot HaBracha, this is the blessing wherewith Moshe, the man of Elohim, blessed the B'nai Israel before his death. So he has been speaking. This is going to wrap up his literally his farewell address to the children of Israel and, of course, to us as well, because this is the kind of the culmination. And it's considered the capstone or the summary, I guess is a good way to put it, of all of HaTorah, of the instruction. One other thing I want to note is this, of course, is the holiday season, the real holiday season. And for some of us, it's just now coming to a close. For a lot of the rabbinic Jewish calendar celebrations, this would be coming up this weekend is the time of Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year. We have that means they will be celebrating, and so will those that see the sighted new moon and so forth, opposition moon, day different, but ultimately this next week we'll be entering into the final time of the Feast of Sukkot, or Tabernacles. And what that means, of course, is that there are different readings. Leviticus 16 is one that you'll hear for this week. And what I decided to do, since every year we always have issues around this time with the Torah portions, and one of the frustrations I've had for a number of years is when we get to Genesis chapter 1 and the first Torah portion, it's six chapters, which is just, in my opinion, kind of ridiculous. There's too much there to give the study that it deserves and the in-depth treatment that it deserves. So what I want to do is we'll break a little bit with the standard, the Jewish calendar and the regular Torah portions, and they'll do some of the reviews and some of the things associated with the holiday. I will finish the Torah portion this week, and then we will continue, and we'll get just a teeny bit of a head start in Genesis, and then we'll let them catch up in the next couple, two or three weeks. So with that, again, this is the blessing that Moshe, the man of Elohim, blessed the B'nai Israel with before he died. And he said, Yahuwah came from Sinai, rose from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran. He came from the myriads holy. At his right hand was a fiery Torah unto them. Yea, he loved the peoples, all his holy ones. They are in thy hand, and they sit down at thy feet, receiving of thy words. Moshe commanded us a Torah. Now, the English, of course, as you know, says law, and I don't like that rendering. It's bigger than law, a Torah, an instruction, an inheritance of the congregation of Yaakov. That would be the Kahal of Yaakov. Then there was a king in Jeshurun, when the heads of the people were gathered, all the tribes of Israel together, and then we're going to get essentially the blessings for the 12, and that's actually going to end up being, of course, remember there are either we talk about Ephraim and Manasseh separately or not. But anyway, the 12 tribes. Number one, it says, let Reuben live and not die, that his men become few. And this for Judah. And he said, hear, Yahuwah, the voice of Judah, and bring him in unto his people, and his hands shall contend for him, and you shall be a help against his adversary. And of Levi, he said, Tumim and Ve'urim be with your Holy One, whom you did prove at Massah, with whom you did strive at the waters of Meribah. So there's a reference to history. Now, wait a second. We've heard Reuben, then Judah, and Levi. Anything stick out at you? We're missing one, right? What about Simeon, Shimon? He's not in this list. He does not show up in here. That's always been kind of interesting. Back to Levi. That's where it continues. He said of his father and of his mother, I've not seen him. Neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor he knew his own children, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. They shall teach Yaakov your ordinances, and Israel your Torah teka, your instruction. They shall put incense before you and whole burnt offering upon your altar. So the sons of Levi obviously would be those who are doing exactly that. bless Yahuwah, his substance, and accept the work of his hands, smite through the loins of them that rise up against him, and of them that hate him, that they rise not again. Of Benjamin, he said, the beloved of Yahuwah shall dwell in safety by him. He covers him all the day, and he dwelleth between his shoulders. Of Joseph, he said, now remember Joseph has the two sons, so we're going to hear Joseph specifically in this case. Of Joseph, he said, blessed of Yahuwah be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious things of the fruits of the sun, and for the precious things of the yield of the moons, and for the tops of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the everlasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and the fullness thereof, and the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Yosef, and upon the crown of the head of him that is prince among his brethren. Now, this is interesting, too, because Joseph at this point seems to be given the blessing that indicates princehood. And for Judah, we don't see that in this particular set of blessings, or prophecies, if you will. His firstling bullock, still talking about Joseph. His firstling bullock, majesty is his, and his horns are the horns of the wild ox. With them he shall gore the peoples, all of them, even the ends of the earth. And they are, and here's the only reference we see to his sons, the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. On to Zebulun, of whom he said, rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar, in thy tents. They shall call peoples unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness. For they shall suck the abundance of the seas and the hidden treasures of the sand. And of Gad, he said, blessed be he that enlarges Gad. He dwells as a lioness and tears the arm, yea, the crown of the head. And he chose the first part for himself, and for there a portion of a ruler was reserved. And there came the heads of the peoples. He executed the righteousness of Yahuwah and his ordinances with Israel. So that word ordinances there is mishpatin in this case. Of Dan, he said, Dan is a lion's whelp who leaps forth from Bashan. Of Naphtali, he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of Yahuwah, possess thou the sea and the south. And of Asher, he said, blessed be Asher above sons. Let him be the favored of his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Iron and brass shall be thy bars, and as thy days, so shall strength be. There is none like unto Elohim, O Yeshurun, who rides upon the heaven as your help, and in the excellency on the skies. The eternal El is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he thrust out the enemy from before thee, and said, destroy. And Israel dwelt in safety, the fountain of Jacob alone, in a land of corn and wine, yea, his heavens drop dew. Ashrei ha'am yodei teruyah, Ashrei, happy are you, O Israel, who is like unto thee. A people saved by Yahuwah, the shield of your help, and that is the sword of your excellency. And thine enemies shall dwindle away before you, and you shall tread upon their high places. So a lot of this, admittedly, is kind of enigmatic, and certainly does sound like some things that would represent last day prophecies. As to the specifics, again, a lot of this, admittedly, is the kind of thing that we'll probably have to see play out before it makes complete sense. The next chapter, the final chapter now at this point, has to do with Moshe and a bit of the story. It says, Moshe went up from the plains of Moab unto Mount Nebo, top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And Yahuwah showed him all the land, even Gilead, as far as Dan, and all of Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah, as far as the Hinder Sea, and the south, and the plain, even the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. And Yahuwah said unto him, this is the land which I swore unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto your seed. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there. So Moshe, the servant of Yahuwah, died there, in the land of Moab, according to the word of Yahuwah. And he was buried in the valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, and no man knows of his sepulcher unto this day. Now, as you might suspect, that is a little bit of an enigmatic turn of phrase, too. How did he get buried? And, of course, the Midrash suggests that some of the Malachim of Yahuwah, in fact, buried him so that no man would know where his body was. And that's one that you say, well, it may be a little bit of an assumption, but on the other hand, I can't argue with it. It makes sense. There aren't too many other ready explanations, although certainly there are, we're not told explicitly. Then it says this, Moshe was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the B'nai Israel wept for Moshe in the plains of Moab for 30 days. So the days of weeping in the morning for Moshe, eventually they were ended. And Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, Chomah. For Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, as did Yahuwah commanded Moshe. And in fact, they did as they were commanded by him. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like unto Moshe, whom Yahuwah knew face to face. Now that's an interesting one, because of course later we know that there was such a prophet, but that would be at the close of the book. And it's interesting, I guess there are those that would say, isn't that kind of enigmatic, simply because Moshe himself prophesied about it in this book, that there would arise such a prophet. All right, but it says here that there has not arisen such a prophet whom Yahuwah knew face to face, okay, in all the signs and the wonders which Yahuwah sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, to all of his servants, and to all of his land. Now let's pause there, because I guess another way to read this and understand it would be a prophet like unto Moshe does not necessarily mean that it would be a prophet that Yahuwah spoke to and knew face to face. If they were in fact God, that is a whole different story. Anyway, all the signs and wonders, the things that he did and was sent to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, all his servants in his land, and in all the mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moshe wrought in the sight of Israel. And with that, the Torah portion ends. And the tradition is, and I will continue, because I think this is a good tradition, because the Torah is essentially a book that we study over and over again, cyclically. We finish reading it, and we start at the beginning. Then the tradition is to continue and just keep reading. And it says, Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim vayet ha-aretz. And of course, that is one parsing of those words in the beginning of Bereshit, or Genesis chapter 1. The English rendering says, in the beginning created Elohim ha-shamayim vayet ha-aretz, the heavens and the earth. And it says, ha-aretz was tohu vabohu, which is really kind of an interesting phrase. Unformed and void, or void, is an interesting. And in Hebrew there is tohu vabohu is kind of a bit of an alliteration. It's more poetic in the Hebrew than it is in the English. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of Yahuwah hovered over the face of the waters. And this is where we'll pause, and we'll come back, and we'll pick it up again. But certainly, one of the first things that the Creator seems to have done, and this makes sense to me as a physicist, was Creator photons. He said, let there be light, and there was light. And Elohim saw the light, that it was good, and he divided the light from the darkness. We know what he called them. He called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And then we have, there was evening, and then there was morning. Day the first, Yom Echad. All right, so with that and the creation of light, on the first day we'll pause, and what we'll do is I'll note that we'll continue with some of the studies throughout the rest of the year. We are coming up on the time at the end of this week when the traditional calendar will have the day that they call Simchat Torah, the joy of Torah, And that's the official end by the that reading. But again, I kind of like this idea because this will give us more time to spend in Genesis, in the first Torah portion, and in the second one as well. Because there's just so much in there that literally it's frustrating every year not to be able to spend the time that it deserves.